Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
It is always great to talk with Jerry Dulac. Now, next time through, we're going to talk probably about the PGA, but this time we'll talk about the draft. Jerry, welcome. Great to have you back, my friend.
Yeah, Steve, always good being with you. You made me chuckle with that line because, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, okay, 350, that's nice, but that's nothing. 500 is the milestone, you know, not 350. And, he only has a couple. He has to just do that again to sniff Babe Ruth. He has to have another Hall of Fame career just to even smell Babe Ruth.
Exactly. 364 to go, but that's okay.
Right.
It's a milestone. All right. So let's get to the – I get the sense this is about as unpredictable a total draft. Like, you usually feel like the first seven or eight picks, you can pretty much be close – as to who's going where. This time I don't have that feel. Do you?
No, I agree with you, Steve. I not only think it's unpredictable, I actually think it's kind of dull. And
yes,
it's always dull when you don't have marquee quarterbacks, when you don't have, Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes or anybody like that, Ben Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers, you know, Eli Manning, top 10 picks, top 5 picks, number 1 picks overall. And this draft doesn't have that. And so when you don't have the marquee player at the most important position in the sport, then that right away makes it a little less interesting, if not a lot less interesting. So, yeah, I think it's both unpredictable, and I think it's just going to be a dull draft for the most part.
And I agree with you completely that it's going to be a dull draft. And I also think that for the weaker teams, they'll be better because of the player they pick for the most part, but it's not going to be franchise-changing for them. It's just going to make them better.
Yeah, I agree with you, Steve. And, of course, that's the thing with these quarterbacks. None of them are franchise quarterbacks. None of them are elite quarterbacks. They might be starting quarterbacks and winning quarterbacks, but that's like damning them with faint praise, to be perfectly honest. And none of these guys, there's only two of them who probably go in the first round. None of these guys merit a trade up, and I think it's just the mere fact that people are talking about that Malik Willis could be available to the Steelers at 20. Mike Tomlin loves the guy. Tells you what the rest of the league, at least certainly more than half the league, thinks of the draft class. That a quarterback would drop, the top quarterback, if he would drop to number 20. And, you know, this reminds me of the draft with E.J. Manuel. You know, that
yes.
There's just not that kind of player, that kind of quarterback in this draft. And I think that's why you saw a lot of maneuvering among quarterbacks during free agency. Because, you know, this idea that it's an average class, Steve, I tell everybody that. That just didn't come out of the blue. That starts with the NFL people who know, the value in terms of quarterbacks in this draft class. And it wouldn't surprise me at all to see that to see them drop even more. But then the one thing I've learned a long time ago, Steve, in this league is it's a quarterback-starved league, and teams get desperate and they're under pressure to find that next franchise quarterback. And then teams start reaching for a quarterback because of the pressure on them to take one. Do I think Carolina would take a quarterback at 6? No, but they need one. Do I think Seattle would take a quarterback at 9? No, but they need one. And I think the next team in line is going to be New Orleans at 16. I think it's 16, because it's Baltimore, Philly, and New Orleans. And I personally don't see it any higher than that, than 16. But then again, New Orleans has 2 picks. They have 18 as well, so it could be 18 when they draft a quarterback. And but if one goes early, we see this happen in other positions, but especially at quarterback. If one goes early, then there's going to be a mini run on quarterbacks in the first round. Not a big one, not 6 of them, but certainly 3 of them, and maybe 4 of them. Although I doubt it. Otherwise, but all things being equal, I don't think more than 2 will be taken in the first round, Steve.
And I think what would change for some teams was the Russell Wilson factor. When he was picked in the 3rd round, and the Seahawks had a quarterback on third-round money and invested in other places and got a Super Bowl, everyone feels, right, I'll draft my quarterback, okay, we'll get him on the relative cheap for 3-4 years, and then we'll build around him and we'll win with that guy. And you and I know only a special guy can do that, but you know, even a Trevor Lawrence couldn't do that.
You know, I'm a big Russell Wilson fan, and I have contended for years that if I could pick 1 minute to go, 50 seconds to go, and I could pick one quarterback to drive me 80 yards for the field goal or touchdown, I'd pick Russell Wilson, because he can hurt you so many ways, buying time in the pocket, running, or throwing. And he's such a great deep ball, you know, those big moon shots he throws up there. He's a great deep ball thrower. But let's not forget, when Seattle won the Super Bowl and went again, they had an outstanding defense. And I'm not taking anything away from Russell Wilson.
Right.
But let's keep in mind that that defense won a lot of games for them. And as soon as that defense started to falter, we haven't seen the Seahawks and Russell Wilson do a whole lot.
Well, again, because they threw the money into the defense because they were saving money on him.
Right. Absolutely.
That's how they made it work. And it's interesting, on Wilson, one quick note on him. He played against Penn State at Wisconsin. Jack Ham and I look at him and go, raving about him.
Right. And I
had voted Wilson the preseason player of the year. We have to do that, unfortunately.
Right. And then, of course,
I voted him postseason player of the year. When he got picked, phone rings. It's Jack. He said, Seattle just got the steal. I said, yep, they got the steal of the draft. So, I mean,
yep.
That's one we got right.
And Russell Wilson, he's one of those quarterbacks, you know, obviously he's not very tall. What is he, 6 foot if he's lucky, maybe 6 foot?
Yes.
But he has the intangible they're all looking for. And he's a winner. More importantly, he's a leader. And guys follow him. And you know, he's not a quitter. And so he has those intangibles that all these teams look for in a quarterback. And that's part of what makes him so good. I'm actually surprised, Steve, at how average his stats are for the most part during the season, his accuracy and everything, because when I watch him, he looks unstoppable. And then in other games, he'll be sacked 6 times. He'll throw a couple, 3 picks, and I'll think, well, what the heck's going on with that team? Or what's going on with Russell Wilson? Because, I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of him.
Yeah, same here. All right, so the Steelers are at 20. They signed Mitchell Trubisky. They've got Mason Rudolph. What do you think they should do? What should their options logically be at 20 that can make them a little bit better?
Well, to somewhat to your point, I believe that Mitch Trubisky and Mason Rudolph are better than anything that's in that draft. The kind of X factor is what Malik Willis brings as an athlete with his mobility and athleticism. But I say that, and speaking of height, the guy's barely taller than 6 foot. And he's 215. He's almost Kyler Murray size. And after 2 years, you're seeing what Kyler Murray's agent wants to do. He wants to renegotiate and get a bigger contract because his guy is getting beat up. And he may not last to the end of his contract. And that, to me, is the problem that I would see with Malik Willis. He's just not a Steeler type of quarterback. If the Steelers would draft him, he'd be the shortest quarterback they've had on their roster since Scotty Campbell. And I think that was the late 80s. They just don't have guys like that. So I don't think anybody in the draft is better than what they have. And Steve, when you take a number one pick in today's NFL, he better come in and start. And if he doesn't start, he better be a major contributor. That's just the way of life in the NFL these days. And the Steelers have fallen in line with that. And they have other areas that they need to address. They're down to 2 wide receivers. So they're going to take a wide receiver, which is a deep class for wide receivers. They're going to take one by round 2. Certainly by round 3. By tomorrow night, they'll have a wide receiver. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's in round 2, and I won't fall off the chair if it's round 1. But the area they addressed offensive line in free agency, signed 2 guys on the outside, re-signed Chukwuemeka for. They spent, I think, $47 or $48 million or whatever the number was. It was more than that. It was $65 or $70 million on their offensive line in free agency. So they're not going offensive line, number one. They addressed that. The one area they didn't address at all, area where they're getting old, the offensive line, they were young. They needed older, proven NFL guys. The defensive line is old. They need young guys. And to me, it's the area that I think they not only they should go because they just they need to replenish that line. Tyson Alualu is going to be 35 in 2 weeks. Cam's going to be 33 next week. Stephon Tuitt's going to be 29. He's played 21 games in 3 years. So it's kind of hard to sit there and rely on Stephon Tuitt. And after that, there's no young guy waiting in the wings like, oh, yeah, we got to get this guy in the lineup. They don't have that guy, and it's time to go get him. And to me, that's where they have to go. They really, really, really like Jordan Davis. How could you not? I don't know that he's going to be there. I still think Baltimore will take him at 14, maybe even the Eagles at 15. But if he pushes down far enough and the Steelers really like him that much, you know, they don't have the draft capital to move very far. But if they have to only move a couple picks, I wouldn't rule that out. I'm not saying that they will. I don't have the intel that, oh, yeah, we will do that. But let me tell you, I know they really like him. And to me, that's where they should go. I'm just afraid, knowing how much Mike Tomlin likes Malik Willis, that if he's on the board at 20, you know, I sit there, and to me, that's a wasted number one pick, Steve.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think a defensive lineman and Davis would be a great pick for them. And I still keep looking at that Ja'Marr Chase pick by Cincinnati last year. And I know and they addressed the offensive line in free agency, as you said. And these guys may be gone, but if Wilson, Olave, Dotson, if they're sitting there, that changes, I think, the life of Trubisky or Rudolph, I think, in a positive way, because it'll give them a guy that really can stretch the field.
Well, let me say this, despite the fact you're showing your Big Ten bias.
Yes, I don't
agree with you. I don't think Garrett Wilson will still be available. But to your point,
agreed.
Steve, I learned this a long time ago too from the Steelers. They never turn their back on a skilled player, even if they have like wide receivers. If there is a one they really like and have a grade on, guess what? They'll take them. And so that's why if they take a wide receiver, if one of those guys or some of the other guys, I don't think a Drake London or what. I don't think they want that kind of guy. But I think they want maybe a Jameson Williams type of guy, you know, a Jahan Dotson. He's a little small, but even a Lave, those kinds of guys. Believe me, it won't surprise me at all because they need wide receivers, and they're going to take one. And like I said, best I can tell, by the second round and certainly by the second day because they only have two, and they have to get two more who can play, and they will definitely go for a wide receiver.
Jerry, are you amazed how the draft takes on a life of its own? I mean, you think about the way you and I would look at it, and like, I remember Pete Rozelle said to ESPN, all they're doing is handing us cards and I'm reading it. You want to televise it?
Right, and yet here it is, probably as much watched programming as ESPN, you know, puts on the air. You know, Steve, I always say this. The Combine is the NFL Network's number one most viewed programming all year. That's the Combine. And a lot of that is fantasy football. These people who think they're general managers, you know, they start watching and they want to get an early line, and then it's the same deal. They are fascinated with the drafts. That's why all these mock drafts pop up all the time. People would do one mock draft a week out. Now they're doing three, four, and five months out. And it's because, you know why? Because people click on them and they read them because they're fascinated with it. And, there's no question the NFL draft has taken on a extreme life of its own. Look, the first round is always anxiety-filled and entertaining. There's some nice kind of, quote, gripping drama, if you will. Now, after that, there's a big come down. But that first round of the draft, everybody has such anticipation and curiosity and anxiousness over, okay, what guy is my team going to pick now? This guy's gone, that guy's gone, this guy's available, that guy's available. And the intrigue is just, it's riveting to the fans of each of these teams. And you multiply that by 32, and then your periphery sports fan, it's out of control.
It is. It really is. Awesome, as always. I think the next time we'll talk Southern Hills. How about that?
There you go. And you know that's right up my alley. And so I talk draft and I talk golf, and I do it very easily.
Yeah, my friend, you do everything easily. Thank you so much.
Steve, always good being with you, my friend. Stay well.